Well, hey there, everyone. My name is Graydon, and welcome to the Eternity Church Weekly Podcast. This past weekend, we had the privilege of having our very own local legends preach the word for us. And we had Pastor Brad, Pastor Connor, and Pastor Sean, and they all brought an amazing word, so you'll want to listen to all of them if you can. This episode is Pastor Sean Culley, who is the family and life pastor at Eternity Church. And if you don't know Sean, you are missing out. He is an awesome guy, and he has awesome things to bring to you in this episode. So without further ado, here we go.
Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. For 3 days, the devil thought he won. For 3 days, there was darkness and gloom and despair. And then the grave opened up, and truth in physical form walked out, shining its brilliant, beautiful light into the world so that you and me can have an opportunity to get into the presence of God, so that you and I don't have to go once a year to some temple somewhere and buy a dove and have it sacrificed, so that you and I can go to God right now, wherever we're at, and say, Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for your love for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for not just giving me life, but for giving me life abundantly. God, I pray in Jesus' name in this place that your abundant, Holy Spirit-filled life would go over every single person in this place, up in the overflow, on the patio, in the lobby, online, everywhere within the sound of my voice, that your love would permeate the deepest part of our souls, the places where we build up walls because we think they're too shameful for people to see. Lord, I pray that your light and your truth would go into that place and remind us that we're worthy, that we're worthy, that we're worthy in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I'm excited. I'm excited. I don't know if you know me or not. My name's Sean. I'm one of the pastors here. I run the Family Life Ministries, and I'm excited to be here today. If you're new or if it's your first time, welcome. If it is your first time, whether it be here or online after service, go out into the lobby, get your swag bag. We want to bless you with gifts because we love you. If you're online, you can get it at myeternitychurch.com/new. And I'm just so grateful that you're here. We're going to have a good time today, right? Before you sit down, I just need you to know that it'll be 6 years that I've been here on October 1st. It's been 6 years that I've had the pleasure and the honor and the privilege to not just call Pastor Jesse my boss or my pastor, but to call him my friend. And him and Pastor Lauren have done so much for this church. I know you think you know, but you have no clue the sacrifice that they've made, the hope that they've instilled, the love that they've spread in Des Moines, Central Iowa, and around the world. So I'm grateful. I just want to take a second. Can we honor them as our lead pastors and just thank God for them? Hallelujah, God. Thank you so much for the leadership in this place. He is good. God is good, and his love endures forever. Thank you so much, everybody. You guys can have a seat. We're going to have a fun time. I had a chai tea this morning and a coffee, and so I'm ready to go. You guys ready? If it's your first time being here when I'm preaching, I'm a little excitable. Like, I'm just a little bit too jacked for my own good, not physically, like emotionally. Sometimes Pastor Jesse's got to be like, whoa, just rein it in, buddy. Just like online people saying you're yelling, and you need to just lower your volume, okay? My wife tells me that all the time. Sean, we're in the same room. So if I'm yelling, I'm sorry. I just get excited about Jesus, okay? I get excited. Something else about me you need to know right off the bat. I love to compete. And honestly, it's more than that. I love to win. I love to win. It's one of my favorite things in life is to compete at something. And honestly, not just win, but like completely annihilate and demolish and demoralize whoever it is that I'm competing against. Like, legit, I was the kids' pastor for a while here, and there's this game up there called carpet ball. I didn't let kids win. In fact, I beat them. Some of them cried. And sometimes I felt bad, but sometimes I was like, hey, get better, kid. And honestly, like, I needed to calm myself down a little bit. Because, honestly, though, it's good, though, because when they did beat me, they were super excited. Because they knew it was legit. They knew that, like, Pastor Sean didn't let me win. Like, I won fair and square. I just love to compete. I love to win. I love to just mess with people, too. It's one of my favorite things. So back when I was in college, we lived in Springfield, Missouri, and we were youth leaders at a small town just outside of Springfield. And we took the guys on a paintball trip, right? We went to this place where you could go and rent paintball guns, and you could play paintball with each other. And I'd played paintball, like, in a field or a woods with my buddies, but I'd never gone to a place that you actually go to compete in paintball. And so they're teaching us all the rules. They get all our gear on. They show us how to use the guns and everything. And they're like, one of the rules is when you get shot, you point your gun up in the air, and you walk off the field. That's how everybody knows that you're dead, right? I'm like, okay, fine, but what if, because this place is huge. There's nets all around. There's tunnels. There's bridges. What if I, like, come up behind somebody, and I'm, like this far away, right, between me and Kevin? Should I shoot him? That's really close. He didn't even know I'm there. And he's like, to be fair, it's kind of messed up to shoot somebody in the back when you're that close because it is painful. It hurts. I'm like, okay, but what if they, because so he said what you're supposed to do is if you come up somebody like that, you say, hey, bang, you're dead, and they put their gun up without getting shot and walk off the field. I'm like, okay, but what if they don't do that? And he gets down low, and he looks at me in the eyes, and I got really excited. He's like, then you light them up. And they'll never do it again. I got so excited, you guys. I was so ready to just light somebody up. I could not wait. But sometimes my excitement gets in the way. For instance, yeah, right. For instance, in high school, I was one of the captains of our soccer team. I played center mid because I wasn't that good, but I was really fast. I could run up on offense. I could help the guys score. I could run back on defense and help prevent somebody from scoring. I was really quick. I was good at distributing the ball. I was a good passer. Wasn't a good scorer. Honestly, I had one goal in my high school career, and that was because my friends felt bad for me. They just let me go up there and just kind of dink it in. But I was really good at just distributing the ball and all this stuff. And we were playing our rivals, Ottumwa, Iowa. We didn't have a big enough school to have a high school team, so we played club sports through the YMCA. And our rival was Ottumwa. We always had to beat Ottumwa because Ottumwa was good. They were really good, and usually they beat us. But my senior year, we were up 2-1 in the second half. And this Ottumwa player kicks the ball, and I didn't see it because I was trying to communicate something to one of my wingers. And I turn around, and the ball hits me straight in the eye. I go down hard because he can kick it pretty good. And, like, pus starts oozing out of my eye. It's really gross. It was really gross. And I go off to the side. My coach puts a sub in. And I kind of just sit there for like 5 minutes. I wasn't crying, okay. But it hurt. The pus was just pus. It wasn't tears. But it did hurt a lot. And so as I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, I hope I get to go back in the game. We can't lose this game. This is Ottumwa. This is my last game against Ottumwa. We got to beat Ottumwa. And so I start getting amped up and getting excited because that's just who I am. And I go up to my coach. I'm like, coach, I'm good. Put me back in. He's like, Sean, we just scored another goal. We're up 3-1. Why don't you let one of the subs play who haven't seen time all year? And I'm like, I mean, yeah, we could do that. Or you could let me go back into the game because I'm good now. I got to play, coach. And he's like, no. We'll talk about this later. Just settle down. It'll be okay. And sure enough, we end up winning like 6-1. But I was competitive. I did not want to lose. I love to win. It's one of those things that I know needs to kind of back off a little bit. Like, honestly, I'm never going to not be competitive. Honestly, when I'm playing disc golf with my friends, I have to beat them. If we're playing a game at home, I have to win. If we're taking a walk to the ice cream shop, I've got to beat my family there. I know it's pathetic. It's probably pride, and it's something that I know God needs to work on me about, all right? I know it's something I need to get into the presence of God to allow him to shake it off. Is anybody else in here today got something they need to have God shake off? Let's be honest now. Come on. I know that pride is something I need God to shake off of me a little bit. A little competitive spirit's fun, but when I need to demolish a six-year-old at carpet ball, I need to settle down a little bit. I know that about myself. I know that I need to work on that. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? We here at Eternity Church believe in the power of the Holy Spirit to call the world to repentance. In other words, it's not my job, it's not Pastor Jesse or Pastor Lauren or any other staff pastor's job to call you out on things we see in your life. It's not. It's God's job. When he sees something in your life that's harmful to you, destructive to somebody else, or offensive to him, he will call you out on it. And then he will give you the power to fix it. And if you need help, we're here for you because we love you and we're a family. But it's not our job to do that. When he sees something, he'll fix it. However, we're not just talking about spending time in the presence of God to allow him to speak to areas of our lives that need to be shaken off. Then that's something that needs to change. If we're not spending time in the presence of God, if we're not allowing him to speak to us to shake things off, then that's something that needs to change. Maybe for you, it's like me. Maybe it's pride. Maybe you have a hard time losing, right? The word says that pride becomes before a fall. Did you know that? That it's throughout Scripture that you can't come to God with pride. In fact, it's at the foot of the cross of Jesus that you have to come to God. You can't come there through your own power. It's impossible. Maybe you're here today and you have a hard time keeping your word. Anybody else? I don't want to see hands, actually. No, don't show me. I don't want to know your business. But anybody else in here have a hard time keeping their word sometimes? I know I do. Sometimes I have a hard time just letting my yes be yes and my no, no. Sometimes I just need to tell you, I don't know. I'll get back to you. That's something I struggle with. I think it's something a lot of people struggle with, right? Maybe for some of us, it's hate. I know in this politically charged climate, it is easy to look at the other party's platform and identify people with that platform and hate the platform and then start hating those people. Can I tell you, that's wrong. I don't care whether you're Democrat or Republican, whichever. If you hate Trump or hate Biden, that's wrong. And that's something God needs to shake off of you. That's something you need to get in the presence of God and say, God, I don't want this hate. I want to be able to love and respect and show mercy. This one's going to be tough. Definitely don't raise your hands on this one. Anybody ever have a hard time talking about somebody behind their back and then maybe dismissing it as a prayer request? Oh, bless their heart. Right? You cover it up with just, oh, bless their heart. That's not good, man. That's not good. You got to love people in front of their face and behind them. Honestly, maybe it's maybe you've messed up. Maybe you've messed up and even you've asked for forgiveness. And that person's forgiven you. But you've had a hard time forgiving yourself. I don't know about you, but sometimes the hardest person for me to forgive is me. Sometimes I just need to let it go and move on. Maybe it's not something that you've done, but something that's been done to you. And you're having a hard time shaking it off. You've been carrying a weight that you weren't meant to carry. I know people who have carried the shame around their entire lives and never let God shake it off. They're bitter to this day for something that somebody did to them, and they won't let God shake it off. Not because they don't want to. Maybe they just don't know how. They don't know how to submit themselves into the presence of God and say, God, get this off of me. I'm sick of it. So how do you shake it off? We're going to read Hebrews chapter 12 today, starting at verse 18 if you have your Bibles. We're going to read a little bit different translation, though. So if you got your Bibles, open up to Hebrews chapter 12. It's going to be a little bit different, so get ready. Just buckle up, all right? We'll get through this together. It's a lot of scripture. You ready? Are you ready? All right, here we go. For we are not coming, as Moses did, to a physical mountain with its burning fire, thick clouds of darkness and gloom, and with a raging whirlwind. We are not those who are being warned by the jarring blast of a trumpet and the thundering voice, the fearful voice that they begged to be silenced. They couldn't handle God's command that said, if so much as an animal approaches the mountain, it is to be stoned to death. The astounding phenomena Moses witnessed caused him to shudder with fear, and he could only say, I am trembling in terror. By contrast, we've already come near to God in a totally different realm, the Zion realm, for we have entered the city of the living God, which is the New Jerusalem, in heaven. We have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joyous celebration. And as members of the Church of the Firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. And we have come before God who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect in his eyes. And we have come to Jesus who established a new covenant with his blood sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Blood that continues to speak from the heaven, forgiveness. A better message than Abel's blood that cries out from the earth, justice. Make very sure that you never refuse to listen to God when he speaks. For the God who spoke on earth from Sinai is the same God who now speaks from heaven. Those who heard him speak his living word on earth found nowhere to hide. So what chance is there for us to escape if we turn our backs on God and refuse to hear his warnings as he speaks from heaven? The earth was rocked at the sound of his voice from the mountain. But now he has promised once and for all, I will not only shake the systems of the world, but also the unseen powers in the heavenly realm. Now this phrase, once and for all, clearly indicates the final removal of things that are shaking. That is the old order. So only what is unshakable will remain. Since we are receiving our rights as an unshakable kingdom, to an unshakable kingdom, we should be extremely thankful and offer God the purest worship that delights his heart as we lay down our lives in absolute surrender, filled with awe, for our God is a holy, devouring fire. I love this scripture. I love how it compares and contrasts in a word picture the way people in the Old Testament approached God and how we can now approach him today. The author here, using an example of two different mountains, both places the first century Christians would have understood. One that the people feared to approach after fleeing through the Exodus, one that Moses himself trembled at. In fact, I've got a picture here. This is what some scholars believe to be Mount Sinai. It's located somewhere east of Egypt and south of Israel. We know that. This is the traditional site of Mount Sinai. This is St. Catherine's monastery here at the bottom. This has been there for several hundred years. And for that long, a lot of scholars believe this is where the Israelites would have camped at after the Exodus. This is where God would have come down in clouds and fire and smoke and consumed this mountain. And only Moses was allowed up on the mountain. And when he came off, his face was so brilliant that they asked him to cover his face because it was scary. This is the place they would have thought about when this writer of Hebrews is writing this word. This is the spot where they would have known trembling and fear and God keeping them at a distance, not because he wanted them at a distance, because he wanted to protect them from his holiness. He wanted to protect them from all that he is, because sin and discord cannot be in the presence of God without God destroying it. And God didn't want to destroy his people. So this is one of those mountains that they would have understood. It's a traditional site. It was covered. It was kept safe. They stood distantly because they knew the radiance and beauty of God was on full display. But there's another mountain that God reserves for those who put their faith in him through Jesus. A mountain that resembles one. It's a mountain that resembles one they were also familiar with. Mount Zion in Jerusalem. This second picture, if you can see it, that gold circle at top is the Dome of the Rock or the Al-Aqsa Mosque. That is in present-day Jerusalem. And the large rectangle that it sits on is commonly known to be known as the Temple Mount. Now, for a long time, scholars thought, if I'm not going to get in the way, this spot over here was the spot called Mount Zion. But we know that Mount Zion was in the city of David. We know that from the Bible. And recently, in the last 20 years, they found that the city of David's way over here. In fact, there's a valley on its east over here called the Kidron Valley, and a valley to its west called the Tiferian Valley. And it was about 600 feet from valley to valley. And when David came and conquered the Holy Land, he bought the threshing floor that was there so that they could put forever the temple of God to house the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. They would have known this place, Mount Zion, as a safe place, as a place where they could go to be protected. In fact, Zion literally means the citadel. It's a place they could have gone to feel safe, to know that their God is going to protect them, that God is going to fight for them. But the author of Hebrews here is talking about an even better mountain. A mountain that's unshakable, a heavenly Mount Zion. An unshakable mountain that God himself inhabits with his people. Not just a place where God is that you can go visit every now and then, but a place where God inhabits, where you can go and converse with him and walk with him and talk with him. Where forgiveness is a better message than justice. Because forgiveness is where we meet God. Where worship is a weapon wielded against the powers of darkness to defeat the enemy. Where absolute surrender in the presence of God lets him be the consuming fire that he is in my life. A fire that never says enough. A fire that burns up everything that stands as an obstacle to himself. It's an unshakable kingdom. It's not just some hill in the Middle East. It's an actual place where we can go to be in the presence of God, to receive his peace, to receive his joy, to receive his love. It's unshakable. It's a kingdom that you never have to worry about being financially viable or running out of natural resources. You'll never have to worry about civil unrest or riots. You'll never have to question if the schools are good or if the streets are in disrepair. You'll never question whether or not you're a citizen because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You are legally registered there for eternity. In fact, your primary goal and responsibility will be to immerse yourself as often and as deeply in the presence of God. It's an unshakable presence of God. That's how you shake off the things in your life that keep you from fulfilling who God's called you to be. You immerse yourself in the presence of God, the unshakable presence. And when you're in the presence of God, you allow him to reveal to you. You allow him to reveal who you are, who you're supposed to be, what you're supposed to do, and how you're supposed to do it. He shakes off all the junk that slows down your race towards him. He gives you unshakable purpose, unshakable promise, and an unshakable power that will never let you down. An unshakable purpose to reflect who he is by being more like him every day, to rule over creation responsibly and honorably, to be who he's created you to be. Genesis chapter 1 says, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them, reflecting his image. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Make disciples. It's just that simple. Your purpose to reflect who he is and to make disciples that will reflect his image. Be who he is and help other people be who he is. That's it. That's your purpose. If you came here today not knowing your purpose in life, I just told you. You can now go knowing, I know what my purpose in life is. It's to be who he's created me to be and help others do the same. But he also has a promise for you, a promise that he will complete in you, an unshakable promise to love, obey, and trust that he will accomplish everything he sets out to do in and through you. Psalms 138 says, the Lord will fulfill his promise, purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Whether I feel like he's with me or not, he is with me. Whether I feel like he's accomplishing his purpose in me or not, he is accomplishing his purpose in me. Because God doesn't lie. He will do it. And he'll do it with his divine, unshakable power. The Holy Spirit in your life, God, the power of God through the Holy Spirit, will give you everything you need to do what he's called you to do. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. But it all starts in the presence of God. Surrendering all of who you are to the one who knew you and loved you at the moment of creation. Who knows you and loves you now just as you are. Who will never stop knowing and loving you on your best days and your worst days. Allow him to shake off everything that slows your sprint towards his perfect love. Hebrews 12, the very beginning of that chapter, says this, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Can we just park there for a second? Despising the shame. He was on the cross, naked, beaten. His friends deserted him. I can't think of another word than shame. But he looked at shame and said, you're nothing. You're less than nothing. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to bury you under the jail. And then I'm going to go forward and bring life and hope and joy and peace. And I'm going to bring it into your heart. And I'm going to bring it into every heart in your sphere of influence. Shame is nothing. Jesus despised it. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame. And is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you will not grow weary and faint-hearted. He did that for you. If you're in here today and you're thinking, no, he didn't do that for me. He doesn't know me. Yeah, he does. In fact, he's the only one that knows you perfectly. He did that for you. So that you don't have to be weighed down by sin or guilt or shame. So the more you shake off, the faster you can run your race towards him. The faster we'll be able to run towards the kingdom we're inheriting. The kingdom that's unshakable, full of love and life and hope. A place where we can receive hope so that we can radiate hope to a hopeless world. A kingdom where we receive eternal life so that we can demonstrate the promise of life to all who believe. an unshakable kingdom where we receive perfect love from a perfect Father so that we can put on full display the never-ending, hope-filled, life-giving, joyous, perfect love that He is. A love so big and unshakable that no doubt or fear will ever cause it to second guess its love for you. A love so sharp that it cuts through the walls and the barriers that we built ourselves and cuts through it to remind you that you're worthy. A love so beautiful and complex that it's taken thousands of years, every continent on the planet, multitudes of ethnicities and languages to display its splendor and beauty. Love so personal that He wants you. He wants you, Kevin. He wants you, Malachi. He wants you, Tara. Rachel, He wants you. Don, He wants you. He wants us. And He wants us not just to walk away from our sin. He wants us to walk towards life. Life abundantly. Life beautiful. And if you haven't given yourself to Him yet, then we're going to give you an opportunity right now. We're not going to go another minute without giving you a chance to know Him. He didn't come to strip you of who you are so that you can look like me or Pastor Jesse or anybody else here. He came to give you life, to give you purpose and hope. Hope in something greater than yourself, a God filled with love that we've been talking about, who wants you just as you are. Not you a week from now, a month from now, or a year from now. Right now, He wants you just as you are. We're not asking you to completely change. When God sees something in your life that He wants to change, He'll tell you, and we'll be here to help you. But God wants you. Whether you're 5 or 500, God loves you, and He'll never stop chasing you because He goes after the one. He loves all of us, but if somebody walked out of here, He'd chase them down because that person needs Him just like you and I do. All it takes is to tell God that you want Him. Ask Him to forgive you of the things you've done wrong and say that you love Him, and He'll come into your heart, forgive you of your sin, and help you to live the life that you are destined to. A life so full of joy and hope that everybody around you can't help but notice. That's all it takes. Tell Jesus you love Him because He loves you. We have this thing in our house. I'm kind of a dork, if you haven't noticed. I was dropping the kids off at school one day, and we always do, I love you too. And if they don't say I love you too, I tickle them. If I get home and they're playing video games and don't immediately get up, I tickle them. Basically, I just tickle my kids all the time. And one day we're dropping them off at school, and I mixed up my words. And when my kids said I love you, I meant to say I love you more, but I thought I love you most, so it came out as I love you morst. And now it's just a thing in our house. It's like, I love you morst. It's like the most love that you can get in our house. If I love you morst, that's it. It's like Tony Stark, I love you 3,000, right? That's ours. It's I love you morst. God loves you morst. There's no greater love than that. You can't trump it. You can't top it. God loves you so much. And He wants to give you a fruitful life.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.